Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Gallops to the basket, Euro step, slam dunk. Giannis, they can't stop him from getting to the rim. 22 third quarter points for the Greek Freak.
Butch Talk starts now.
And it's a come from behind win. Milwaukee 114, Sacramento 108.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, not a whole lot more to say about that third quarter from Giannis that we haven't already put out there, but that was one of the bigger differences in this game. It was just a night and day difference in performance for the Bucks from the first half to the second half. Doc Rivers talked about it after the game as well and said by his count there was 17 possessions the Bucks had in that first half where there wasn't a single pass. There were times where they did make a pass, but the ball kind of stuck, and there wasn't that additional secondary set and movement. You saw a lot of it in the second half. You had one double-digit score at halftime. You finished the game with 6. 9 points from your bench at halftime. You finish the game with 32 from your bench. Gary Trent Jr. and Kevin Porter Jr. hit some of the biggest shots of the night. But it was two things. It was Giannis's play in the third quarter, and it was your defense throughout the course of this game, especially in the second half, that lead the Bucks to this victory tonight. And I'm sure there was a roller coaster of emotions for many Bucks fans throughout those first 24 minutes where you think, here we go again. This is starting to give us the vibes of this past Tuesday in San Francisco against the Warriors, and staring directly at a 1-2 start to this road trip when you have a Phoenix Suns team that, you know, we said you should be expected to win that game if you're the Bucks. It's a Suns team that, having said that, is playing better of late. They are now into the 10th seed in the Western Conference and have won 3 straight games. So you're staring at a 1-2 start with Phoenix, maybe you catch them on another hot night in Denver Wednesday night as your final two games. All of a sudden, 24 minutes into this game tonight, it was looking like a disaster of a road trip, similar to how things started under Doc Rivers last year when the Bucks went 1-4 on a 5-game West Coast road trip. And ultimately lost Chris Middleton to that ankle injury on the road trip as well. You were staring directly at that. I'm not going to say this was a moment where the Bucks season turned around, but this really did feel like those final 24 minutes of the game really felt like that's where the Bucks stopped the bleeding and said, let's prevent this from happening. We got a chance at what we mentioned before the game. The expectation needs to be 3-2 has to be the borderline or the bare minimum expectation on this road trip. You lose this game tonight, it's still possible, but it's a lot of pressure. Now you got a chance at a great road trip because of the things that you cleaned up and how this team played in the second half. And again, I know they flashed the numbers up there on the broadcast tonight. We've talked about the fourth quarter offense, the clutch time offense for this Bucks team as a whole. I don't think it was great tonight in the clutch or in the fourth quarter. It was better. It was certainly better than what we saw Tuesday night in San Francisco against the Warriors. It was better than what we've seen for large portions of this season as well. But I think arguably the most important parts of this fourth quarter offensive eruption or offensive performance tonight was that Giannis had a single point. 22 points in the third quarter. He had 1 point in the fourth quarter. And, you know, I'm sure the natural jumping point from that is, well, Giannis has to shoot more in the fourth quarter. You need more from Giannis in that moment of the game. I think it's just as important, and to be clear, I don't necessarily disagree with that, but the guys the Bucks were getting offense from, Giannis took 1 field goal in the fourth quarter. I think it was just as important that you got the offense you did from those guys. Kevin Porter Jr. and Gary Trent Jr. go 8 of 10 in the fourth quarter. A.J. Green hits a big three after missing his first four of the game. Those are the guys, not that you're going to need them to carry the offense, but those are the guys that you're going to need to be able to rely on for shots like that in the playoffs. And we've heard Doc Rivers talk time and time again about mid-range shots and the notion that the league is cutting them out, which he thinks has been over-exaggerated. Doc Rivers' point is mid-range shots. I'm not saying we want that to take up the bulk of our shot diet, but there is a place in this game for those mid-range shots, for what Giannis takes, for what Kevin Porter Jr. takes when he gets to his right, gets to the elbow there, and hits that step-back jumper. Those are the types of shots that work in the playoffs and can win playoff games. So getting those types of moments in the fourth quarter from your role players and guys that I think we have seen enough from Gary Trent Jr. this season to know I trust him in the playoffs. I think you've seen enough from Taurean Prince to say I trust this guy as a playoff guy. And I really think we're starting to get there with Kevin Porter Jr. as well. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. They grinded out another very, very strong defensive game on this one tonight for the Bucks, especially in the second half. We'll dig into some of those second half numbers from this Bucks defense. Also, the latest here. I mentioned the Indiana Pacers won earlier today. They continue to win. So what do the numbers say now? Where are the Bucks projected to finish? We'll get into the latest on that as well coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Pass stolen by Giannis. Giannis breaking to the basket. Goes up, slams it home on the run. A steal and a big time finish for Giannis. Timeout Sacramento.
22 points in the third quarter tonight for Giannis. That led the offensive turnaround. You held the Sacramento Kings to just 47 points in the second half. It was, 61-49, I think, at halftime. And you hold the Kings to 47 points in the second half. Your defense was... Look, I don't think any of us have any questions about the Bucks' defense. We've talked about the starters and five-man groupings and lineups that you would go with. I mean, I think you can nitpick and find, I don't know if this is the matchup that you'd want to have out there to start a game, or should you go to a guy like Gary Trent Jr. in the starting lineup? Should you go to Kevin Porter Jr. for extended minutes? Like, those are all conversations worth having. But overall, there's no questions with this Bucks defense. The deeper we get into the season here, they have consistently been around the top 10. And, you know, not to beat a dead horse here, but none of us would have expected this coming into the season, that the defense is consistently going to be among the best in the league. The offense is where you'll have questions, especially down the stretch in those clutch minutes. Offensively, that's where the questions have really been for this Bucks team. But another very, very strong defensive performance tonight. The Bucks are now, for all intents and purposes, tied with the Cleveland Cavaliers for the ninth best defensive efficiency in the league. And look, there's a chance that the Bucks could finish really as high as seventh, arguably sixth, in defensive efficiency this season. Not a whole lot that's separating teams like the Warriors, the Pistons, the Cavs, and the Bucks. That's making up 7 through 10 right now. The Minnesota Timberwolves have a 110.6 defensive rating. The Bucks are 111.8, so they're just over a point per 100 possessions better than you. Everything else is bunched up. This has routinely been a top 10 defense, and you keep pointing to you need a top 10 offense, you need top 10 defense to be a serious championship contender. That's what you're looking for. We've talked about defensive rating and why that's important. And the other thing that I think everybody goes to over and over again, even if you don't know what it means, it's just something that you hear other people say and you regurgitate it, but you got to be a top 10 defense. No team outside of the top 10 has won a championship other than the Denver Nuggets for decades. And again, that Denver team was playing much better defensively going into the playoffs. That's where they were starting to become a top 10 defense. Similar conversation to what we've had with this Bucks offense in the clutch. and in fourth quarters that, you know, we've reached the point where you're 70 games into an 82-game slate. You're not going to see much movement. If you're sitting at 29th or 30th, it's not like you're going to finish the season in the top half of the league. So the big thing is, okay, since those trades were made with the new additions to the Bucks, how does the fourth quarter offense and how does the clutch offense look from that point forward, from the trade deadline on or from the second half of the season after the All-Star break? Those are the numbers to key in on. But defensively, you don't have to do that. You know, I don't know if that's cherry picking per se, but there's no cherry picking needed defensively. They have consistently been excellent. And even in the clutch, second best clutch defensive rating coming into this game tonight. It may be number one after this because of what they did to the Kings down the stretch of this game. But the point of you got to be in the top 10 in both of these, I think it's a yes and no piece. You know, if you're right around 10 in both of those, you feel pretty good. Bucks are not there as of this moment. They have the 14th rated offense, but that's another area. Things are close. You're not that far behind the Indiana Pacers, who are 9/10 of a point per 100 possessions in front of you. They are the 10th best offense. So again, you start to find some of your legs here. You get Damian Lillard back. You start to get healthy. You beat up on some bad teams. You can push that number into the top 10, and then suddenly it's, well, how much more attention do we have to pay to this Bucks team if they secure the fourth seed, they get in the top 10 in offense, they get in the top 10 on defense, they're flirting with the top 10 in net rating right now. All these things are moving in the direction that you want to see them. But getting those moments, right? Tonight it was 24 minutes. We've seen it be a quarter in the past, and the numbers dictate it's the fourth quarter. But just cutting back on those is the biggest thing because that's where you get in the most trouble. When you put too much pressure on your defense, and we saw it during that run to a championship in 2021. We certainly saw it the following year when injuries were a big part of it and Chris Middleton's absence meant you got to win rock fights against the Boston Celtics. And you nearly did that. But year after year, that Miami Heat series, same story. Giannis was clearly not 100%. You didn't have Wesley Matthews in that series either. Another banged up version of the Bucks, and you just put too much on your defense. That was why you made this trade to bring in Damian Lillard. The most important part for this team is to be healthy. But avoiding those pitfalls where it just gets into the, man, the offense has gone scoreless for 6 minutes, or the offense, another 20% shooting quarter that we're seeing from this Bucks team, that's what you have to avoid. It's impossible to avoid runs. I'm not saying you cannot give up a 7-0 run. It happens multiple times throughout the course of a game to every single team, but it's when it extends into half of a quarter or a full quarter where you look back and you say, well, the game was lost in the second quarter. Game was lost in the fourth quarter when this team scored 16 points. That's the biggest thing you have to avoid, because if you can do that, look at the way your defense closed out this game tonight. And look, I know the Kings were missing pieces. Didn't have Malik Monk, who was instant offense for that team. Didn't have Domas Sabonis, who's basically their hub of offense. You still had Zach LaVine. You still had DeMar DeRozan, two very, very good and efficient half-court scorers. And this Bucks defense just came up with all the answers that they needed to. So I don't think there's any questions about where this defense currently is and what you can realistically expect from them in a playoff series. The question is the offense and what you saw in the second half. How do you start to get that more consistently? The guys that we mentioned in the fourth quarter are going to be a big, big piece of that consistency. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, or I should say this morning on Bucks Talk. I do want to take a look at that matchup Monday night, because it is certainly going to be a much bigger story on April 1st when the Phoenix Suns come to Milwaukee, but it is still a story, and I'm still very, very fascinated to hear Mike Budenholzer's thoughts, because he's going to be peppered with them in that game in Milwaukee, but there are going to be reporters that covered Bud and the Bucks for those 5 years in that championship run that are out there in Phoenix, and team broadcasters that are out there that are going to have some of those questions about the feeling and the emotions for Mike Budenholzer. It is an interesting spot, so I do want to get into some of that conversation as well. We also mentioned the latest on what the numbers are saying, where the Bucks will finish. We'll get into that as well. Coming up after this on Bucks Talk. Big win tonight for the Bucks, who get to 2-1 on this road trip and take care of business in Sacramento. Beating the Kings come from behind fashion. They trailed by a dozen at halftime. They trailed by, I believe, 14 was their largest deficit in this game. And ride the momentum of a 22-point third quarter from Giannis and some big shots down the stretch from their role players. Gary Trent Jr. and Kevin Porter Jr. led the way offensively in the fourth quarter. You may say, well, it's got to be Giannis. You know, you need like a 35-point half from Giannis. You need more than one shot from Giannis in the fourth quarter. I don't disagree with the last part. You'd love more than one field goal attempt from Giannis, but it's going to be important to find those secondary scores. And we've had this conversation many times since the trade deadline, too. Who is the Bucks' third scorer? I don't think it has to be one player consistently. For most of this stretch, it has been Brooke Lopez. But you need consistently to have a third guy you can rely on, even if it's different game to game. If it's a Brooke Lopez game one night, game two of a playoff series, Gary Trent Jr.'s hitting shots, the next game, Kyle Kuzma has a big game, or Kevin Porter Jr. has a big game, but you need your role players to hit some big shots. A.J. Green's a guy, too, when you look at the way he started this game. Missed his first four threes. He's really been struggling with his shot. I think it's 35% he's shooting in the last eight games. We mentioned in the last show, too, you know, if you just compare the pre-All-Star break and post-All-Star break splits for A.J. Green, not a whole lot of difference. I mean, the numbers are down, but it's not significant. The post-All-Star break numbers are really propped by a big game he had against the Dallas Mavericks. You take that out of the mix, it's in the mid to low 30s, his shooting. I don't think there's any reason to believe it. It's anything more than just a shooting slump for A.J. Green. But A.J. hitting open shots is important for this team. And not just A.J. Every single player on this team hitting open shots is important. You're going to get those looks in the playoffs. And when we talk about things that'll work in the playoffs, getting to that mid-range spot, Kevin Porter Jr., I think what he gives you offensively works in the playoffs. There's going to be a fine line of how much is too much of this and making sure it doesn't become a Kevin Porter Jr. show, and not just KPJ, but any of these guys, right? When you got Giannis and Dame, that's where you want the volume to come from. But open looks, they're going to be there. The conversation we just brought up once again, who's the third scorer? Teams are aware of that. And we've seen last few games here when the Bucks had all their guys were all that they could have with the suspension of Bobby Portis and the injury to Jericho Sims. When the Bucks have their guys out there, we've seen more and more of teams just saying, okay, pressure Damian Lillard the length of the floor. Tonight, the Kings were doing the same thing in the second half. Pressure Giannis. Make him work to get the ball across midcourt because there's no Dame out there. They started the game, what, 4-15 on threes? Make these guys hit shots. Get the ball out of Giannis's hands. That isn't going to change in the playoffs. It's going to be amplified. So getting those open looks to fall, the big thing is you just got to keep shooting. And I think I've mentioned a couple of times, you just can't have games where A.J. Green only takes two threes. And it's also a telltale sign of where the Bucks offense is. On those nights, I guarantee you, if A.J. Green has a low volume of threes, look at the Bucks' assist numbers. They're probably not high. Their assist rate is probably pretty low for that. You got to keep shooting, and you got to believe that those shots are going to fall. That's the approach we've seen from Gary Trent Jr., and he's talked about it after a horrid start to begin this season. First 10 games. Nothing falling through. You just got to keep shooting. Torian Prince had one stretch where the Bucks pulled him out of the starting lineup when Chris Middleton returned. He could not hit anything. You just got to keep shooting. Shots started to fall the more minutes you had out there with Giannis. But that is what's going to determine a lot in the postseason for this Bucks group is the play of their role players. So nights like tonight, I think, were very, very important to see those shots start to fall, to see the impact that Kevin Porter Jr. can have inside and outside. And Gary Trent Jr., we've said it time and time again, we talk about clutch scoring. It's not just the last 5 minutes, because Gary Trent Jr. is nowhere near their leading scorer in the clutch. Whenever it's a big moment, when the Bucks take the lead and the opponent comes back and reclaims the lead, when it's a one-possession game and it's close and you want to extend the lead, like those big moments, Gary Trent Jr., more often than not, is the guy that's hitting the shot in that moment. And that's why I say I think you feel pretty good about what you can expect from him in the playoffs and hitting shots in the playoffs. You know, you see it time and time again, fake shooters versus real shooters. And the 82 versus 16 argument, too. Are you a regular season player that we can put out there for 82 games and you'll hit open shots then? Because closeouts are a little bit different. Maybe they haven't done the full scout on you. You get better looks. Or are you a guy that can hit tough shots, contested shots, big pressure shots in those types of moments in the postseason? Are you a player that can do that 16 times, 16 games to lead your team to a championship? I do think Gary Trent Jr. is one of those 16 players. I think AJ Green has the potential and the ability to be a 16 player, but you got to get him out of this funk that he's currently in. And I think the biggest way to do that is to just keep feeding him shots. Five tonight, only one went through, but that one was huge. Coming in the fourth quarter in a moment when the Bucks really needed it, he missed his first four. He had just missed a wide open look a couple of possessions prior. Get back on the horse. Get on the bike again. Take another three. It's eventually going to turn. And that's what we saw tonight in the fourth quarter. So keeping an eye on that, too, from those role players. How much of a boost can we start to see here? Also keep an eye on the injury report. You get the sense this is a lot of, not serious, not insignificant either, but let's just, we're at that spot now. You're getting closer and closer to 10 games. Talked about the importance of health. I think you'd love to sneak in some of those for Giannis, too. Say, all right, let's give you a game or two here, especially when you're playing every other day from here on out with, what, two more back-to-backs, I believe. I think you'd love to get one of those or two of those for Giannis as well. You're just kind of working through it with Dame right now. But keeping an eye on the health of this team and the availability of Damian Lillard as we go into a big one on Monday night against the Phoenix Suns. So I do want to take a look at what that game and what that atmosphere is going to be like. And also, I don't think we have the most recent update to the projections. But what the projections said before this game went final, and what we've seen from this Bucks defense in the clutch. A lot of numbers to pour over. We'll get into that coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
MVP, you never hear Giannis's name. Like, it's voter fatigue, I guess. I don't know what it is, but he's Groundhog Day. I mean, he does it every night, and I guess that's boring. Not for me.
He's got a point. Unfortunately, Giannis at best is going to finish third this season. Where the Bucks finish may determine if Giannis finishes fourth, if Jason Tatum gets more MVP votes than he does. But it's going to be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I agree with Doc Rivers in that it's becoming criminal now. Like, you also have to recognize this is a turns award, that it is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's turn. It was Joel Embiid's turn prior to that. I know Nikola Jokic has won three. Nikola Jokic is also posting some of the best offensive numbers and impact on that end of the floor that we've seen in league history. And look, it's too exhausting and it's too large of a conversation, and it's frankly a valid one to bring in, well, what about on both ends of the floor? Giannis is a better defensive player than Jokic. But we like to move on to the new things. And that's unfortunately where Giannis is kind of saddled right now, that, you know, to get back into that conversation, either your team needs to be really good or it has to be a holy cow, can you believe Giannis is doing this in his 12th year in the league? He's posting some of his best numbers. We're back on that train. So it's unfortunately not in the cards for Giannis this season to be an MVP. And I think largely to Doc's point there, to even unfortunately be in the conversation, which is the criminal part of, look, we can mention everything Nikola Jokic is doing. Giannis is doing pretty similar things. And he's doing it on both ends of the floor. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has been incredible. You're not going to get an argument out of me that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander should be the MVP this season. But we don't have to cut it off at two names. Like, we can talk about what Giannis is doing as well. And that, look, I know he's not going to win it, but let's call attention to this. And that's what's been missing from a lot of this discourse and these debates over the MVP this season, not just last season, really since Giannis won his second MVP, that we were ready to, all right, let's move on to somebody else. Whose turn is it next? Is what it seems to have shifted towards since what, 2020, when Giannis won the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. We don't have the most recent update. It's not going to be updated until tomorrow morning, but so not taking the Bucks win tonight into account, coming into this tip-off, the numbers are suggesting the Bucks will be the 5 seed. That the Indiana Pacers have a 60% chance to lock up the 4 seed. The Bucks had a 48% chance to be the 5 seed. There's going to be a little bit of movement on those. Maybe it's 55-50 with this win once that gets factored in, but Pacers are kind of middle of the pack in terms of difficulty in their remaining schedule. The Bucks have the 10th easiest schedule left. And all the concern over the Pistons, look, those two games are going to be huge to close out the season in Detroit on the 11th, and then here in Milwaukee on the 13th, the final day of the regular season. You hope you don't need those and that this Pistons schedule starts to do some of the work for you. They have the fifth most difficult schedule remaining in the league this season. So the hope is they're going to start to pick up some losses here. They still have a game with the Cavs, a game with the Thunder. They still have a game with the Knicks. They got the Timberwolves on the schedule and two with the Bucks. The Bucks' most difficult remaining games, there's just five of them listed. And one of them comes off the schedule on Wednesday. So you got that one game with the Knicks. Two of them are off the schedule next week. One game with the Knicks, which is next Friday. And by the way, comes as no surprise here, doesn't seem as though Jalen Brunson is going to play in that game. Knicks are still 4-4 in those games without Jalen Brunson, but that's a big advantage for the Bucks. And the other one, the Denver Nuggets on Wednesday night, your final game of this five-game West Coast road trip. After that, the quote-unquote difficult games on the schedule for the Bucks are the final week of the season. The Minnesota Timberwolves at home, I think that's, what, your fourth to last game? That's the game that Bobby Portis is eligible to make his return. And then your final two games of the season in Detroit on that final Friday and against the Pistons in Milwaukee, final day of the regular season. So we'll see what comes of that with the schedule. Pistons did you a solid with their loss last night, and they also play tomorrow, do the Pistons in the afternoon. They host the New Orleans Pelicans. So look, looking at that schedule for both of these teams, you'd love to scoreboard watch and root for the opposition and get some help there. But the big thing is, you've heard me say this before, we brought it up a lot when the Bucks were 2-8 this season. Yeah, the schedule's going to turn and guys are going to start to hit shots, yada, yada, yada. But you have to be an active participant in your own rescue. So you got to grind out these wins like tonight. You can't just lean on Pistons' schedule is pretty challenging. Pacers' schedule is more difficult than us. You got to start to win these games. And in the case of the Pistons, they got a stretch starting next week where we talk about the difficulty on their schedule. It starts then. Next Friday, when you play the New York Knicks, the Pistons are taking on the Cavs. Then they go to Minnesota. Then they go to Oklahoma City. They still have the Memphis Grizzlies. Big blow today on the injury front with Brandon Clark being ruled out for the rest of the season. But it's a Memphis Grizzlies team that is still fighting for playoff seeding. Currently fifth in the West. Then you get the Kings after that at home. Right now, with this loss tonight, Kings are trying to hold off the Phoenix Suns at the 9 seed and get the opportunity to host that 9 versus 10 play-in game. And then your final three games of the season for the Pistons are home against the Knicks, home against the Bucks, in Milwaukee against the Bucks. Now, that Knicks game is Thursday, so it's a back-to-back, home and home. Home against the Knicks on Thursday, home against the Bucks on Friday. It's easy to look at those games right now and say, well, you still got to play this team, and you still got to beat this team. The chances are the Knicks have the 3 seed locked up by then, with 3 games left in the regular season. So who knows how they choose to treat that game. And look, we've seen Tom Thibodeau teams in the past not necessarily buy into the rest, and let's make sure our guys are healthy for the postseason. But they are dealing with an injury to Jalen Brunson. Indiana Pacers, by the way, their schedule has a couple of challenges this week. When you're in Phoenix against the Suns, Pacers are hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves. Then they host the Los Angeles Lakers, who are starting to get guys back, starting to get healthy. LeBron James may be clear to return for that game. We saw him working out, doing things on the court before that game against the Bucks. They got a game in Oklahoma City against the Thunder. They got a game in Denver against the Nuggets. And similar to what we said for Detroit, their final 3 games for the Pacers, home against the Cavs on a Thursday, home against the Magic on a Friday, in Cleveland against the Cavs, final day of the regular season. The Cavs will have everything locked up by then. So again, another one of, I'm going to be curious to see how Cleveland treats these 2 games. It's just 1 game, though. And while you don't have the tiebreaker against the New York Knicks, Pacers, by the way, don't have the tiebreaker against the Knicks either. That's why the Knicks are very likely. Last I saw it was a 90% chance at the 3 seed. Same story there. It's 4 games you would have to outplay the Knicks by down the stretch of the season with 13 games remaining. That's a pretty, pretty big ask to get out of the way there. So Knicks are probably going to have things wrapped up by that final week of the season. But for the Pacers, schedule starts to pick up a little bit, but it's just 1 game. You can pull even with them because of that tiebreaker. You got outplayed by 1 game the rest of the way if you're the Bucks, and that's where games like tonight, any advantage that you have to take advantage of if you're the Bucks. Tuesday, you had an advantage. No Steph Curry. A Warriors team that's been playing pretty well since Jimmy Butler arrived. I think they've only lost twice with him on the floor. But that game was there for you. And again, the offensive issues that we touched on, those are what really derailed the Bucks. After a bit of a sluggish start against the Lakers, you took care of business in that one. And same story tonight. Slow start offensively. You weren't hitting shots. Your defense locked in. Giannis took over. And it wasn't a forced takeover. It was just the Kings don't have an answer for Giannis. He's getting everything that he wants, and he's involving others because of the attention the Kings are paying to him. That's when some of those other looks started to fall. You're going to have a chance to do the same on Monday against the Phoenix Suns. And it's a Suns team that has won 3 straight games. Those wins against the Raptors, Bulls, and the Cavs last night. Kevin Durant had a huge fourth quarter and a 40-point game in that win against Cleveland. But it's a Suns team that they struggle to do things well on both sides of the ball. It is a very, very non-Mike Budenholzer team, I think would be the best way to put it. And it's a Suns team that, you know, similar to what we saw a year ago, where they just could not get out of their own way in fourth quarters. Similar conversation, what we're saying about the Bucks now. They started this season much better. They started 8-1, and a lot of those wins were clutch wins, where all of a sudden it became, see, Bud's got the offense figured out. Bud's installing a great defense. Ryan Dunn and the impact that he was making, where it became a, why didn't the Bucks draft Ryan Dunn? Suns were suddenly winning those games. That stopped. They're 20-17 in clutch games so far this season, which, again, much better than where it was a season ago, but they have the third worst defense in the clutch. Offensively, it's not bad. It's an area the Bucks would love to be at, ninth best. But their defense just has not been good enough, and that's ultimately the problem. A defense that can't get stops, health issues, and guys that just don't seem to fit on the floor. So, having said that, this does seem like this is a big advantage or a big opportunity for the Bucks to continue to push that offense forward. As of right now, I'll start with the good. The Bucks have, after this game tonight, the best defense in the clutch by a wide margin. They are nearly 2 points per 100 possessions better than the Memphis Grizzlies and Orlando Magic, who are tied for the second best defensive rating in the clutch. The Bucks have a 96.8 defensive rating in those moments, final 5 minutes of a game where the margin is within 5 points. That is incredible. But here's where the other shoe drops. They have a negative net rating in the clutch, despite being one of three teams in the league with a defensive efficiency under 100. Negative, because a 96.5 offensive rating in those moments, including tonight, where we said they were better, is 30th. So you have the worst offense in the clutch and the best defense in the clutch. That offensive number has to improve. And I think the Phoenix Suns are a team that's going to give you that opportunity. So what else to expect from the Phoenix Suns? What to expect from Mike Budenholzer, who's going to be peppered with questions coming up in the next 10 days here about his time in Milwaukee. We'll get into that and answer some of your questions as well after this on Bucks Talk. 2-1 on the road trip now after a nice win. A solid 24 minutes to close this out from the Bucks. Taking down the Kings tonight, 114-108. And now on to Phoenix to take on the Suns Monday night. See if you can end that three-game win streak for the Phoenix Suns. And the first time the Bucks will be looking across the sidelines and seeing Mike Budenholzer coaching them since they fired him in that 2023 off season. There's going to be some questions. I'm going to be very curious to hear what Bud actually says about his time in Milwaukee, and I'm sure he'll be asked about how it ended. I would assume a lot of that is going to come on April 1st when there is more local media there to ask him, but still, it's going to be interesting to hear what it is we hear from Mike Budenholzer on Monday night. So I'd imagine that's going to be a decent chunk of our post-game show on Monday, but I do want to get to some of the questions that you guys had following this game tonight, and seemed like there was a very consistent theme with a lot of these questions, Matt.
Yes. Shout out to those staying up late with us here in the YouTube comments. We talked about it last episode as well. The fans want to see more of Andre Jackson Jr., it seems, in the game, because he just is not playing at all, really, especially after the trade deadline. So D. Cole 123 here says, the Bucks were more consistent with overall play when Ajax started. He doesn't need to play 30 minutes, but can play at least 15 to 20. So do you agree with the idea that Ajax should be getting at least a small chunk of minutes?
No. Well, a small chunk, yes. 15 to 20, no. And I would also push back on the they were more consistent with Ajax assertion there. The numbers simply tell a much different story than that. Like, look, I know he's the guy for a lot of Bucks fans and this audience. You love the energy. You love the hustle. We've spent so much time talking about their offense and what needs to change. Like, your offense has to be better, especially in the clutch. And to be fair, I don't think anybody is suggesting Andre Jackson Jr. close games for the Bucks. They just want to see him for more minutes. But you are already heavily challenged, maybe an overstatement, but your challenges are on offense. There's no help there. Like, that's what Andre Jackson Jr., he and the coaching staff have to work on this summer to figure out what is your role offensively. How can we really maximize that and get the most out of you? I'm not opposed to getting minutes for him. I think we talked about it on one of the more recent shows. Like, I think, and I don't mean this in a bad way, like, I think it's the role Thanasis had in the playoffs where you bring him in for defensive purposes to close a quarter or for limited stretches. That's what he can excel at. And those are the minutes you should look to get him. But, you know, especially tonight, and I, people are like, why did Pat Connaughton play? Because Pat Connaughton moves and cuts to the basket, and the points created on possessions go up with Pat Connaughton on the floor. Because of that, Pat Connaughton can give you something offensively. You're still trying to develop that with Andre Jackson, and, you know, I said the numbers seem to tell a different story, that the Bucks were more consistent. They had a negative net rating with Andre Jackson Jr. on the floor. Any combination that he was on the floor with, a negative 2.1 rating. Their defense, 113.7. Better than it was last year, but that's not the defensive unit we've seen so far this season. That's in the 61st percentile. Offense, 111.7 is nowhere near good enough. And those things are only going to expand once you get to the playoffs. We talked about Kyle Kuzma is one of those conversations too. Like, how much are guys going to sag off of him in the playoffs? Well, they're going to do it even more to Andre Jackson Jr. And if you say, well, look at the starting lineup when he was in there with the starters, that probably tells a different story. It doesn't. It's worse. The five-man unit of Brook Lopez, Giannis, Torian Prince, Damian Lillard, and Andre Jackson Jr. is a negative 2.3 net rating, a defense that's still 113, an offense that's below 110. It didn't work, and I think that's why we saw them go make this move. So it's not to say it's done. You're moving on from Andre Jackson Jr. There's still things there to like, but you have to, and it's not just on Andre, the coaching staff too. You have to figure out what is your role offensively and how do we develop that this summer.
Last one for you here. I knew you'd like this one. Tommy EB says, is there any actual evidence mid-range shots help in the playoffs? Sounds like just more old coach talk and another reason why our offense is in the tank this year.
Look, I'll concede. It is definitely coach speak. It is your radio talk of like, I'm just going to speak in generalities and these things work in the playoffs. These don't. The only thing, other than talking with people in the league who do stand by this, and again, you could point to, well, those are coaches or former coaches. They're going to stick up for the coaches. Fine. But the only thing in terms of numbers I would throw your way is transition offense goes down in the playoffs. And I think the league average, looking through the last 3 to 4 years, is about 16% of your possessions will get run in transition. And
come back to Bucks Talk.
Two and a one on the road trip now after a nice win. A solid 24 minutes to close this out from the Bucks, taking down the Kings tonight, 114-108. And now on to Phoenix to take on the Suns Monday night. See if you can end that three-game win streak for the Phoenix Suns. And the first time the Bucks will be looking across the sidelines and seeing Mike Budenholzer coaching them since they fired him in that 2023 off season. There's going to be some questions. I'm going to be very curious to hear what Bud actually says about his time in Milwaukee, and I'm sure he'll be asked about how it ended. I would assume a lot of that is going to come on April 1st when there is more local media there to ask him, but still, it's going to be interesting to hear what it is we hear from Mike Budenholzer on Monday night. So I'd imagine that's going to be a decent chunk of our post-game show on Monday. But I do want to get to some of the questions that you guys had following this game tonight. And seemed like there was a very consistent theme with a lot of these questions, Matt.
Yes. Shout out to those staying up late with us here in the YouTube comments. We talked about it last episode as well. The fans want to see more of Andre Jackson Jr., it seems, in the game, because he just is not playing at all, really, especially after the trade deadline. So D. Cole 123 here says the Bucks were more consistent with overall play when Ajax started. He doesn't need to play 30 minutes, but can play at least 15 to 20. So do you agree with the idea that Ajax should be getting at least a small chunk of minutes?
No. Well, a small chunk, yes. 15 to 20, no. And I would also push back on the they were more consistent with Ajax assertion there. The numbers simply tell a much different story than that. Like, look, I know he's the guy for a lot of Bucks fans and this audience. You love the energy. You love the hustle. We've spent so much time talking about their offense and what needs to change. Like, your offense has to be better, especially in the clutch. And to be fair, I don't think anybody is suggesting Andre Jackson Jr. close games for the Bucks. They just want to see him for more minutes. But you are already heavily challenged, maybe an overstatement, but your challenges are on offense. There's no help there. Like, that's what Andre Jackson Jr., he and the coaching staff have to work on this summer to figure out what is your role offensively? How can we really maximize that and get the most out of you? I'm not opposed to getting minutes for him. I think we talked about it on one of the more recent shows. Like, I think, and I don't mean this in a bad way, like, I think it's the role Thanasis had in the playoffs where you bring him in for defensive purposes to close a quarter or for limited stretches. That's what he can excel at, and those are the minutes you should look to get him. But, you know, especially tonight, and I, people are like, why did Pat Connaughton play? Because Pat Connaughton moves and cuts to the basket, and the points created on possessions go up with Pat Connaughton on the floor. Because of that, Pat Connaughton can give you something offensively. You're still trying to develop that with Andre Jackson. And, you know, I said the numbers seem to tell a different story, that the Bucks were more consistent. They had a negative net rating with Andre Jackson Jr. on the floor. Any combination that he was on the floor with, a negative 2.1 rating. Their defense, 113.7. Better than it was last year, but that's not the defensive unit we've seen so far this season. That's in the 61st percentile. Offense, 111.7 is nowhere near good enough. And those things are only going to expand once you get to the playoffs, where we talked about Kyle Kuzma is one of those conversations too. Like, how much are guys going to sag off of him in the playoffs? Well, they're going to do it even more to Andre Jackson Jr. And if you say, well, look at the starting lineup when he was in there with the starters, that probably tells a different story. It doesn't. It's worse. The five-man unit of Brook Lopez, Giannis, Torian Prince, Damian Lillard, and Andre Jackson Jr. is a negative 2.3 net rating, a defense that's still 113, an offense that's below 110. It didn't work, and I think that's why we saw them go make this move. So it's not to say it's done. You're moving on from Andre Jackson Jr. There's still things there to like, but you have to, and it's not just on Andre, the coaching staff too. You have to figure out what is your role offensively and how do we develop that this summer.
Last one for you here. I knew you'd like this one. Tommy EB says, is there any actual evidence mid-range shots help in the playoffs? Sounds like just more old coach talk and another reason why our offense is in the tank this year.
Look, I'll concede. It is definitely coach speak. It is your radio talk of like, I'm just going to speak in generalities and these things work in the playoffs. These don't. The only thing other than talking with people in the league who do stand by this, and again, you could point to, well, those are coaches or former coaches. They're going to stick up for the coaches. Fine. But the only thing in terms of numbers I would throw your way is transition offense goes down in the playoffs. And I think the league average, looking through the last 3 to 4 years, is about 16% of your possessions will get run in transition. And last year it was, I think, below 12% in the playoffs. So, like, you start to see a pretty big drop. And it may not seem like a lot, like, well, it didn't cut in half. But when you think about the importance of every single possession in the playoffs, if you're dropping from 16% to 12%, that's four possessions or more that we're talking about there. And a lot of these games are closer games where one possession really matters. So that's why these things matter, because you're not getting as many fast break points and wide open sprints to the basket. You have to find half court offense, and that's where the mid-range shot comes into play. Sure, it can be 3-point shots too, but you know, we've seen with the Bucks, death taxes, and the Bucks just going cold from three in a playoff series. So that's where you need those different looks. Yeah, the biggest thing I would point to is just transition shrinks in the playoffs. So half-court sets, that's where it becomes important. Sure, in the half-court, you'd still love dunks and threes, but you need a more diversified personnel or portfolio of offensive shots in that game. Monday night, the next game broadcast, and it is, knock on wood, our final 9 p.m. tip of the season. We'll see what the playoffs have in store. But our next game broadcast Monday night is the Bucks head to Phoenix to take on Mike Budenholzer and the Suns. 9 o'clock tip from the desert. 8:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.